I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, welcome to our podcast. It's Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with Evan Jenkins, the webmaster. And Evan, we do this every week, at least once a week. We'll be doing it a couple times a week as time goes on. Don't forget to subscribe at the Google Play Store or iTunes or through Odyssey.com, wherever you get your podcasts, anywhere.
Ooh, also Spotify. That is new. So go, if you are on Spotify, you can get us there too.
Spotify as well. And, you know, it's about drafts, prospects, and the future. We look at all the farm systems, minor league teams, where teams are going in the future around the league, you know, primarily in Detroit, Tigers, Lions, Red Wings, and Pistons. And, Evan, I think there's a lot of question all of a sudden about the Tigers and their minor league system. Tigers are off to a horrific start. I mean, they're just terrible. I mean, they're kicking balls away. I read a column for the 97.1 The Ticket website. You can find that, 97.1 The Ticket Twitter page, and my Twitter page, Pat Caputo 98, and the king of the KC, Evan always retweets it. But I wrote about it that their outfield is like a musical group called The Three Statues, and their hit song is entitled Oh My Bad. And it's just, you know, they've just been terrible, and their hitting has been pathetic. And even though they've gotten pretty good pitching, and the defense has been better lately, and the signings that they've had, Meadows and Baez, haven't been totally awful. Tucker Barnhart behind the plate has been terrible. Eduardo Rodriguez is dealing. Mm-hmm. I mean, my gosh, how can you pitch any better than he did the other day against Houston? The team has totally stunk. And why? It's all the players that were really good last year. That, you know, led them through a long stretch after a 9-24 start where they won, all of a sudden stink. Eric Haas, awful, offensively and defensively. I don't know what happened. I mean, he hit 20-some home runs, and now, especially in that rundown, I mentioned Barnhart. They got him to, you know, be a gold glove catcher, which he's been. Pitch framing's been bad. He can't throw anybody out. He's hit pretty well. Hit a couple hits here in the doubleheader against Oakland, but holy heck. Akil Badu is already back in Toledo. That was, I mean, it looked like two different players. It looked like Akil Badu was pretty good last year. And then this year, Evan, they put you out there. It's, you know, wild. And it was offensively and defensively. He had to play center field because of the Riley Green thing. I hate to say I told you so, but on Spencer Torkelson, to a degree, I told you so. But I have to be honest with you, I didn't think it would be this bad.
But, I mean, it's exactly what you said from the time that we started doing this podcast, Pat, that he was having problems with the fastball, right?
Right.
And that is what he is really, really struggling with. How much longer, I guess maybe I'll phrase this question a different way. Is there any way they sent him back down to AAA?
Maybe. But the thing is, Evan, I don't know what he would learn there.
And that's the question, too, because also, then who do you put at first, right?
That's the other question. And by the way, this thing with Harold Castro at first and Willie Castro in center field, you know, I mean, first of all, and it's nothing against hitting Harold, all right? But I've seen enough of the Castros, all right? Haven't you?
I personally have, but then you watch TV today and they're talking about how Willie Castro should be out there in center field and plays it way better than left. And I'm like, man, if this is what we have in our outfield right now, we have big, big problems.
Look, I got a lot of respect, you know, for the Bally Sports and their team there. So I don't mean to say anything, but they accent the positive, like sometimes when there's nothing there.
Absolutely.
And whatever the party line is. But I'll go out on record as saying, hey, Willie Castro, if he's your center fielder, and I don't care if the guy that you thought was going to play there, you're in trouble. And you got to figure out something better than that. And I know Derek Hill can't play every day, and he's injury prone and may not be that good a hitter. But Harold Castro in center field, or Willie Castro, or Harold in center field, you know, that's not acceptable. And Harold Castro at first base, and, you know, I get it. Harold Castro, if it's the eighth inning and you need somebody to slap a single to get a guy home from second or something, yeah, he's a good guy to have up.
But he's a nice utility player.
If you really look at the metrics, if you're really honest about it, he's not. So, you know, I mean, there's a couple things. But I can't explain Badu. I mean, he came on. He had an extended period where he was good. He hit a home run off a 97-mile-an-hour fastball opening week. So did Haas.
Yeah. Haas in the first game.
Right. So I can't explain that. And I said last year, and I was totally wrong, it appears that Eric Haas is a major league player. I don't know what Cleveland was thinking, but he's athletic. He's got genuine power. He hit for power in the minor leagues. And he just hasn't gotten it done. And so far. And you say, well, you know, it's short into the season and Sparky's 40-game mark. First of all, man, you can take Sparky's 40-game mark and stick it where the sun doesn't shine. I'm so tired of hearing about Sparky's 40-game mark.
You and me both.
You know, and consider this. The last 10 years he was a manager, I was a beat writer. So I heard, you know, I knew what the 40-game mark was. Complete and total BS, because – he'd get the 40 games, and then he'd say, well, 40 games, but you really got to wait till the All-Star break. And then when you get to the All-Star break and you ask him, and he'd go, well, that's why they play 162, Patrick. So I learned right away, man, when these people would come in and ask him about that, what he was going to say. It was a complete and total deflection. You know, it was like the dudes who are sitting there suntanning themselves, one of those little deflection mirrors.
Yeah.
So that is total BS. They played lousy. They've got to, if they play 500 ball the rest of the way, they're still going to have a lousy season.
Yeah.
Considering expectations. And do I have a big answer for it? I don't know why Jamer Candelario wasn't better this year. I don't know. You know, at some point, Jonathan Scope's going to get some hits. Austin Meadows, you feel pretty good if you're a Tiger fan, if he's up there, right?
Yeah.
But he hasn't hit a home run. He had 27 and 33. You know, Baez has been terrific in the field. That's been good. Rodriguez, they're going to get what they paid for those two guys. Barnhart, I don't know. He has to tighten it up defensively. And lately he's been a little bit better. I don't know. But you're last in pitch framing or second to last? That's what he's been.
When that was his
got him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you know, and that pop-up and, you know, that rundown.
Tyler Alexander and – I mean, Haas threw, what, two balls out into center field today,
you know,
trying to throw out runners. But I guess the main question is, Pat, because, I mean, I get the calls every day. All the attention is back on Alavila.
Oh, absolutely.
What Alavila has not done with the Detroit Tigers since he took over in 2015. Now, coming into the year, I thought people were starting to give the guy a chance, right?
Oh, yeah.
And now... And even, like, when Vegas came out, I think the over-under was 75 or 77.
80. 80.
What? Okay, and people, what are they thinking?
At least on Playgun Lake.
They're going to be way better than that, blah, blah, blah. And yeah. Vegas is usually never wrong. But so what is in the Tigers' pipeline? Like, is there anything right now that they could bring up from Toledo to help their ball club? Because the call that I get... is Cody Clemens.
Oh,
he
yeah.
all of a sudden is going to solve the Tigers' problem.
No, he's not. You know, I'm just, he may be another option.
Okay.
But where do you play him?
Right. He's an outfielder, right?
No, he's a second baseman.
So.
All right. So you've got a second baseman who's a 20 career war player, who is a good hitter, who's going to hit. All right, but, I mean, my gosh, he's been brutal. I mean, just brutal at the plate. He's a better fielder than Cody Clemens is.
You're talking about Scope, okay.
Scope, okay. Where are you going to put him there, or are you just going to say, oh, no more Jonathan Scope, we're just giving up. There's a $7.5 million we spent that seemed like such a bargain. And, you know, you go over to the toilet and just throw it down there, take it. You use the one holer they got up in the press box, just throw it down there. And then, then you go over to Candelario, who's been their player of the year the last 2 years, a 3.7 WAR player last year, among the leaders in doubles and, you know, pretty good defensively. He's been, you know, he's starting to hit over 200 now, and That makes him a brilliant hitter by the Tigers' standards. Wow. But what do? You say, well, we're going to put Cody Clements, who's actually a second baseman over there, and we're going to put him at third. And say we're just going to take whatever it was, six whatever they're paying Candelario because he won his arbitration case or settled before, and just throw that and go up to the same one holer up in the press box there, right behind where Dan Dickerson makes the calls the games, and throw it in there, flush that down the toilet, and then put Cody to say, well, you can put him in the outfield. You know, where are you going to put him? I mean, is he going to hit better than Grossman and hit better than Meadows? Is he better defensively than those guys? And don't even begin to even think about putting him in center field. Although, my gosh, they put Willie Castro out there. But at least Willie Castro is, like, real fast. Cody Clements has got some power. He's an older prospect. I'd like to see him in the major leagues myself to see what he can do. But if you look at his track record, he has hardly been a great minor leaguer. And he got off to a pretty good start here. But it's not like, you know, something where you're saying that this guy's going to come up. He's a fringe prospect. Right. That's what he is. He's got a chance. Those guys, it's like one of those, I call them 25%ers. You know, there's like a 25% chance. He's a hard worker. He's got a baseball pedigree, all that stuff. He was pretty good at Texas. He started to hit with power, you know, that he could make it. And, you know, second base, he's not bad. You know, it's not like he's some butcher with the glove, but he's no Lou Whitaker either, all right? So, you know, what do? You know, give him a chance, but where? Where and when? All right? Are you in a position right now where you say, well, we're just totally going into rebuild? No, you don't do that. I mean, you know, baseball tanking for the draft pick is stupid, too.
Yeah, I mean,
that is utterly foolish. And, you know, the stupidest thing they came up with in that whole thing that with the lockout and everything was the idea of a baseball lottery.
Yeah.
You know, it's like baseball like being like 500 years behind the times like they usually are.
Well, and like Spencer Torkelson is a prime example of why you can't, I mean, just settle that 1-1 is going to be a great player.
The knocks I hear on now, it's in their validity, you know, I can understand the validity of it. They traded away Verlander and got nothing in return. You know, basically, I mean, Daz Cameron's a fringe prospect at this point.
Sure, Franklin Perez can't keep his arm.
He's not, you know, that arm injury, but he was their number one prospect immediately. He got hurt with an injury that you don't really recover from. You know, if he recovers, it'll be like 5 years down the road, you know. You know, sometimes you see some stuff like that with arms. But the idea he's going to ever be a top starter, which that's why they acquired him, is gone.
Yeah.
And Jake Rogers is a fringe prospect, too. You know, backup catcher, 4A guy.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So he can't hit that well. And his pitch framing wasn't that good. He can throw. But, you know, he's got a great mustache if he keeps it.
Yeah, the mustache is solid.
So that's what they got, you know, from it. So people are upset. It was JV, and he goes out there and, you know, strikes out 300 a year, wins a World Series. Kate Upton's jumping in his lap, and the people weren't saying Kate Upton was making JV pitch lousy anymore in Houston.
I know.
Remember that? That was pretty funny.
Oh, I definitely remember that. But, I mean, and then they talk about what they got in return for J.D. Martinez and Justin.
Well, the J.D. Martinez trade, I didn't like at the time.
Yeah.
Because I called, I have some friends that watch the Arizona Fall League closely and know Arizona system well, and a couple. And they told me DeWalt Lugo was just a guy. I mean, he was, you know, 4A guy and nothing special. And Alcantara, he could field.
Yeah.
But he's a little guy. Hitting is an issue. And, you know, Josh King is still in their system, but, you know, he hasn't taken off the 18-year-old. And he waited. It was 13 days before the trade that he made the deal.
Yeah.
He pulled it too soon, but Martinez had just gotten hurt, and he wasn't having a good year at the time. If you look, his WAR that year was only like 1.8 with the Tigers. And then he took off right after that. So, you know, I mean, it was a bad trade. The Cubs trade, they flipped Paredes to Meadows, and they got Candelario, who's been a, you know, like I said, a 3.7 WAR player last year.
And those were probably the least out of their players that they traded, because that was, what, Justin Wilson and Alex Avila,
yeah. That trade, you know, that one's turned out a little better. So, I mean, it's justified. But on the other hand, Al inherited an impossible situation. So you tell me, Evan, you tell me, all right? Because, you know, I feel that Al Avila came into a situation that he had no chance at the beginning and had to play his cards a certain way because that's what ownership wanted, because they had a little speck of window of opportunity there. So they went out and spent some money foolishly. He inherited Miggy's contract. Remember they had V-Mart in there and stuff?
Well, and what's crazy, too, and
they signed Zimmerman and, you know.
You've been around baseball a long time, and, I mean, I've been around it quite a bit since working here, and I've never seen anything like it. To where they allowed Dave Dombrowski to make trades and then fire him like a day later, which was wild to me that they would allow that to happen and then get rid of him.
But actually, you know, Dave got Fulmer,
sure,
who's rookie of the year.
He got Cespedes, right?
Right, and he got Matthew Boyd,
yep,
who was pretty good.
Daniel Norris at the time, too.
He didn't quite make it. He was a guy, so. I don't know if they were bad trades. They had to go into sellout mode, you know.
Yeah, everybody. They
traded Cespedes, all that.
Price,
but you know, it kind of came to the point. They waited too long.
Yeah,
because they almost got in the playoffs that one year and lost to Atlanta.
And that was what, 16?
16, Julio Teherán, you know, and then Miggy started, you know, folding after that. He wasn't the same player, and they were stuck with that. And, you know, by the time, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, hey, and here's the thing. Here's the truth about the Tigers. And, you really want to know. You know, analytics is huge in the game. It's huge in the game because it works.
Yeah.
So all the people out there say, you can take war and stick it where, you know, all those things. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not about war. I mean, that's a media, baseball reference, fan graphs. You know, measure pretty much the same. Pitching's different between the two, but it's in each analytic department does things. And the Tigers, when Dave Dombrowski got fired, all right, they had an analytics department of one guy.
Well, yeah,
and it was like not his job. I mean, he had other duties. His name was Mike Smith. Now, Mike knew what was going on with it. And the matter of fact, Dan Dickerson and I remember talking to him in that little media area. And, you know, we were talking about the Doppler technology and all this stuff with, you know, that you see on StatCast and Baseball mm-hmm. Savant that I talk about. He was talking about it back then. He said, this is what's coming. That's where I first heard about it. Just in a casual conversation. He knew his stuff. Now, he's no longer with the organization. All that. I don't know what Mike's doing now. But that was it. Dave Dombrowski wasn't a big Moneyball fan. I know that, you know, for a fact. I mean, you know, the one column he complimented me on was when I wrote about how Moneyball, you know, was total BS. He goes, oh, that's pretty good. He was a scouts guy. All right? He liked scouts. He came up as a scout, you know, and he was a scout. And so was Al.
And for Dave Dombrowski's defense, that worked for him.
It did for
everywhere he went.
Right. And for the defense of Mike Ilitch, you know, the late Mike Ilitch is trying to turn over every stone to win. He did not want to have any stone do it. But there was a cost for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost for it is, okay, you're at ground zero. What do you do now? And it was terrible. All right, they had drafted poorly. They had not drafted analytically. They were drafting college guys from Vanderbilt who never made. You should see their drafts. You know, they were terrible. And Al, it took him, you know, Al was like, well, we're going to bring up Caesar and all this other stuff. It took a while.
Hell, I think Derek Hill was a Dombrowski draft pick.
Yeah, so was Bo Burrows, all those guys. But, man, you look at later, they just didn't get guys.
Right.
And they traded whoever was good. So that's part of the problem. And it's taken. But the one thing I would tell you about this right now is that the Tigers are no longer behind like that anymore. They have a real good analytics department. Their major league staff is far more in tune with what the game is now and what you need to do to win. What they did in the offseason made far more sense than some of the crap that they did in the past, where they were trying to throw money at it and try to buy a championship after a certain point. And their farm system, you know, it's still far better than what it was before. And because Spencer Torkelson isn't hitting and Riley Green fouled a ball off his foot and Mize and Manning are out, it's still better. You know, and when was the last time they had a 10th round pick like Tarek Skubaduvity did today? Or Bo Brisky go into Houston, a 27th round pick in L.A., and pitch the way he did and be in the top 35 percentile in fastball velocity and top 20 in spin rate?
Well, in another one of those trades, you know, the Shane Green trade, you're going to see Joey Wentz tomorrow or Wednesday.
Right, he had Tommy John. He has a chance.
But that's one trade that could end up working out. Another call that I get quite often, and it irritates me because I'm gonna admit that I am a fan of Miguel Cabrera, and I think he deserved the contract that he got because you paid him for what he did and what he was going to do with those accomplishments. People are now saying, DFA the guy. Get him out of here. And I say that's maybe one of the dumbest things you could do during the season. A, because what veteran's going to want to come here when you do that to your all-star, your everything, Miguel Cabrera?
Right.
And I don't know what he is preventing from being here right now is my question.
Nothing. You know, look, he can't. He's not the hitter he was.
No, not at all.
It took him a long time to get to that 600 double.
Huh.
It's like, you know, he's kind of stuck there on 599 for a while. But if you look at among their hitters right now,
he's like one of their better ones.
Yeah, he had a 2-run hit the other day. You know, he hasn't hit with any power, but he's still got a couple home runs. I mean, that's better than a lot of their dudes have.
And I guess my thing is, like I said, and people, some people criticize me saying he's not preventing anything. What else are you going to do? And you're paying $30 million for a guy that hits singles. You're paying that money, which means nothing to you and I, Pat, or any other fan. You're paying him for what he did up until this point, right?
Yeah.
He's not the reason that you're not winning right
well,
now.
Well, I would say that would be the case if he were blocking somebody.
Sure.
All
if
right.
He was in you the know, way of Ferguson, and, like, you I'm know, playing first. I don't want anybody else. Blah, blah, blah.
Or, yeah. Or But he's DHing. So, and I don't see some DH that is preventing them. Now, you can make a case maybe they should have gone out and signed a DH and DFA'd Miggy and paid him off $64 million. You know, and then he doesn't get his 3,000th hit here. Or you can be like, totally disrespect, this guy's place in the game by, hey, you got your 500th home run, you got your 3,000th hit. You know, everybody got all excited and had fun, but see you later, man. You're useless. So that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with Al Avila, who's integral to his signing in professional baseball coming out of the gate, or A.J. Hinch, a manager who understands and respects Miggy's place in the game.
100%.
So
that's just a crazy, crazy call to me. Because
well, you'll get one saying, hey, you should tell Pat on that stupid podcast, I'm going to bust his balls because Cody Clemens should be the DH of this team based on what he said.
Okay, but
I mean,
going to compare one of the game's greatest hitters that we have ever seen to a guy that has never seen one pitch of major league pitching.
No, Cody Clemens hasn't exactly torn up minor league baseball either, all right?
No, it's not okay. Like he's down there like Wander Franco and you're like, we need this guy up right here, right now.
You know, I've said this a million times. Riley Green is a very important player to them. And his injury was highly, highly significant. But it's not the reason they have this incredibly awful record. That's not why they're 9-22.
Well, no.
If he were on the team, he would have a couple more wins, maybe.
Sure. And let's also be honest that Riley Green gets up, what, once every three innings up to the bat?
Right. Well, he helps him defensively.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even say that the outfield has cost him that many.
It has.
Has it?
I'll say it. That outfield stinks defensively.
Well,
it has.
I mean, even Monday night, Austin Meadows in right field, that ball that he played and just ran into the wall.
I don't know what happened to Robbie Grossman out there.
But, okay, so does that kind of happen with, okay, so we said last year's Tigers overachieved, right? With wins, basically, what people expected them to do.
Yeah.
And then you wanted, when I say you, I mean the fans, wanted that overachieving team to yet again overachieve even more.
But they're a better team.
Sure.
They added a Javier Baez, a 4-5 WAR player. He's playing well defensively, which is important. He's had some hits for him. You have Meadows, who's an upgrade from what they were doing last year. And but it, so and theoretically anyway, and probably ultimately, the catching situation defensively will be better with Barnhart than what they were doing last year with, you know, the four different catchers they use.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the rest of the team, it's just been terrible. Guys who did well, why would Scope all of a sudden fall off? He's not old. He's not past his prime. No, I know people question his body type and things like that, that he's going to get old sooner. But it's a hitting tool that's been killing him. But why would Candelario be, you know, so feeble for long, you know, that way? What happened to Eric Haas? What's the difference? You know, they're not pitching him, you know, in any kind of different way. That was a big sample size when he hit those home runs. You know, what happened with Bedu? What, you know, what?
That's the crazy one to me.
You know, what happened? And this isn't a pitching issue. They're, you know, it's not where they've missed Mize and Manning.
No, not at all, because everybody that's come in has pitched fairly well. I mean Fajardo, we've waited for years and years since he was drafted out of Florida to come up. He's pitched pretty well.
Brisky, Pineda. Willie Peralta's dealing at 97.
Yeah, I mean,
Tyler Alexander hasn't been good, and you know, and their bullpen's been good except when they really need their bullpen, and then all of a sudden they get flame out.
Yeah, all of a sudden Hutchinson's throwing it to center field, and
Fulmer, you know, walking a run in and giving up a cookie pitch to Michael Brantley, and Soto throws eight straight balls to start an inning.
So with the poor play defensively, do you think AJ Hinch deserves any blame at all?
No, look, A.J. Hinch is the same manager that fans thought was like a faith healer.
Yes.
Like he was Benny Hahn. Remember Benny Hahn? Like he puts his hands on people. I can't move my arms. I haven't moved my arms for 20 years. And they thought he was like that. He put his hand on Eric Haas. And Eric Haas like, I can't hit major league pitch. I hit 20 home runs.
Right.
You're going to hit 20 home runs. And then he collapses. Thank you. It's the same with Akil Badu. You're a Class A player. Rule 5, I'm putting my hands on you, and you're going to rake. You know, but this year, there was no miracle. So all of a sudden, you know, it's the same thing. It's like with Al. It's like Al found those guys. Rule 5 draft. He picked up the DFA.
Well, yeah, he was getting tons of credit for Haas and Badu. And now
Cisneros, who's hurt.
Yeah, and like, you're now going to criticize them for the same exact thing that you were giving them credit for.
Well, they went out and spent a bunch of money on guys who've come in that are real players, man. They're not maybes. They're proven players. Baez, Scope, and Barnhart.
Oh, when he
and Eduardo Rodriguez.
Meadows,
and Austin Meadows.
Everybody's acting like he is.
Yeah, they added five guys.
GM ever. Yeah. Way to be aggressive. Way to go out there and do this thing. And
So I don't know. You know, I mean, people are, you know, this is the call I get, or ticket text. You know, I'm like three people attack. You know what it's like. It's like, you're soft on the Tigers, and you're soft on Avila and Illich. And I got to tell you, man, if I thought that they really deserved to be skewered, Evan, you know me well enough, 100%. I would skewer them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes I, you know, don't go with the party line or what the narrative is. And I said before the start of the year, this looks almost too good to be true. That was my narrative because it looked like it was really coming together.
Yeah.
And it turned out that way. But I honestly, I don't look at a bunch of signings. I would be hypocritical if I said I really didn't like the signings that Al made in the offseason, because they're pretty good signings. And those guys, you know, they spent money. You know, people are sitting there, they spent money.
They spent a ton of money.
So you're going to tell me if Baez was on Minnesota and Correa was on the Tigers, their two teams would have different records.
And that's
a stupid type of stuff that people say.
And that's another thing, too, is that everybody else, they wanted them not to only get Baez, but then also go get Carlos Correa, right? Go and do that, too. What would that have changed this year? Other than you would have said, look at that dumb blank Avila going and spending all this money on two shortstops that are underperforming. He would have then been criticized for that during the year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Then I think we should talk about the farm system, because I've heard it getting ripped now. Because they don't have somebody to call up that's a magic pill.
But how many teams do, Pat? Around Major League Baseball, right now, how many teams can go and say, I'm going to go down to AAA, and I'm going to get a guy that's major league ready that's going to contribute right here, right now, and turn our losing team into a winning team?
Nah, there's some guys you could say that about, but there are guys that are already in the major leagues. Green was going to make the team, and he got hurt.
Yeah.
And Torkelson, they put him up in the major leagues, which people would have been so upset if they didn't. And, you know, he's come up here. But the thing is, I don't know what he learned down there. He has to learn how to hit major league pitching. I know he can hit, you know, the AAA type of stuff.
Yeah, he's proven
that. You know, but the bigger stuff, the real good stuff's a little bit different. And I think he's getting a wake-up call that Casey Mize got a couple years ago when he tried to throw a splitter over and over again. Wasn't a magic bean. You know, they just looked at that and said...
So do you think they right the ship this year? When I mean right the ship,
well, some of these guys, you know, again? I mean, if you play Jonathan Scope every day, he's not going to hit 120 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that at some point Riley Green's going to come back and that'll help him. But he's going to have to get back into, you know, where he's player ready. You know, kind of like the thing with Jameson Williams, you know, people with the Lions. You get a lot of calls. They love that. I've been over and over and over again with fans on it. Oh, you SOB, you're a Lion hater. And I'm like, look, it's not that. I'll be the same guy. I'll be defending him when some of these other rookies are great. And he can't get on the field yet because he's got an ACL and people will be judging what the Lions did when they're like 2-14 or something.
Let me just take a moment. Did you ever think, because when you wrote about the draft, I know this is not baseball, but you wrote about the NFL
draft.
Yeah,
but it's about drafts, what we do.
And people were, why is Pat being negative? You hater. Blah, blah, blah. When did the Lions start getting the benefit of the doubt anything?
They get the benefit of the doubt on draft year. I've been through this so many times.
I know
never to this degree because it was never, you know, trading up to 12. And it wasn't a new GM that people like, you know. Although that's happened a couple times during the Bob Quinn era where people thought he was a miracle man.
I mean, everybody was so pumped when they got Matt Patricia.
It may work out, but, you know, it will. But it's like they do the same thing over and over again. Same type of thing. The fans react the same way. I mean, even Stoney. I'm on TV with Stoney, right?
Yeah.
And Stoney goes, oh, different GM. Okay, that's the first argument he has for it. Okay, Stoney, that's really good. And then the second one, he goes, I like to be aggressive for once. And I'm like, they're aggressive like that all the time, man. How many times they trade up for running backs, draft tight ends in the top 10, or take wide receivers? And I point out something. Well, Calvin Johnson, people hate this number. They'll never quote it, but I'll quote it all the time. They were 49-86 in games he played for the Lions. Mm-hmm. So, and he's, you know, first ballot Hall of Fame wide receiver. So a wide receiver can have great impact if you got a good team. If you don't have a good team, it's like putting a hood ornament on a 73 Pinto. I've said that over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, it's exactly what it is. You know, they touch the ball six times a game. So, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase was really good because he had Burrow and Higgins and Boyd and Mixon. And
he went to a ready-made team.
Right.
And that one guy on the outside to really put him over that top.
Right. And they have – and their defense coordinator worked some miracles, and they drafted well.
Yeah.
And they built their team, and they got the right coach at the right time.
It's just I wanted to ask you about that because I'm like, what world am I living in nowadays that giving – that saying anything that might not be 100% positive, Lions are going to the Super Bowl, that you're getting criticized for not giving them the benefit of
the
doubt.
I told about Javid Best. I followed him really close when he played at Cal. He was this Cal State sprint champ.
Oh, yeah.
So I followed him at Cal. For some reason, I followed Cal a lot. I went to a Cal game with an old radio buddy of mine named John Bloom. Jamie and I used to always talk about Cal. So, you know, I followed Cal. So I used to watch him in this thing. So when they got him, I knew what they were getting. They were getting a slender running back who had a concussion issue. But also, he would start out each year, man, like gangbusters. And he'd get dinged up even when he was playing. He suddenly wouldn't be the same. And I'm like, hey, this is what you're getting. And people just got so mad at me. And then when he started out well, I was like, you know, it's not. And I hope James, I think William's a good player. And he may be a spectacular player.
Yeah,
it may work out. But, it, you know, come on, if I'm pointing out all these different things, and I didn't get any pushback on it that made any sense at all.
No, none at all.
None at all. I mean, zero sense.
Well,
and I like the one where it's like, a wide receiver, it's taking over the game, you know, because all these wide receivers are signing with these other teams. Oh, they're signing with these other teams? Yeah, well, why are the other teams letting them go? Do they let the left tackle go? Do they let the edge rusher go?
No, because they can replace them.
Do they ever let the quarterback go?
I mean, and by the way, if anything, Brad Holmes showed you that you can get a receiver later than number 12 overall.
And well, that's the other thing. If you look at the top receivers in the league.
But I'm pretty sure all these guys that are getting this big money.
No.
Tyreek Hill, that's not a first-round guy.
Oh, there were more.
Deebo Samuel.
There were 10 receivers in the league last year that caught 100 or more passes. There were more taken in the fifth round than the first round. Tyreek Hill, Hunter Renfro, all right, and Stephon Diggs. Remember him at Maryland?
Well, you remember Renfro at Clemson.
At Clemson,
like,
yeah.
He was there for 12 years.
He caught the big pass from Deshaun Watson, right?
Yeah.
It was like he was there 12 years. And the two first-rounders were Justin Jefferson, right? He was a real good player, but
very
they were
good.
Below 500. And the other one was Waddle with Miami. He had a great year, and they were barely above 500.
Yeah.
All right, they fired their coach. And, you know, controversially. And the top round was three because Cooper Kupp was a third-round pick. You had Keenan Allen, a third-round pick. Andrews, the one tight end that was in there, was a third-round pick.
Well, look at Michael Thomas that 2 years ago.
Right.
All those records. He was not a first-round guy.
And, Evan, if you go down lower than beyond 100, it's still like that.
I know.
So, you know, I mean, you can't bring out facts.
No, you can't. And I guess my whole point is, because you say something that isn't overly positive or isn't trying to spit shine a turd, doesn't mean that you, me, anybody is rooting against the Lions, the Tigers, the Pistons, the Red Wings. Because I'm pretty sure you and me will be super happy if any of these teams win.
Oh, absolutely.
I was born in 1983. I have not seen the Tigers win a World Series. Save me with 1984. There's nothing more that would make me happy than seeing the Tigers win a World Series.
Well, what you were doing when the Tigers were winning the World Series is the same thing the Lions have done for many years.
Poop my pants?
Pooping the diaper there, bud.
But, yeah. So
no, I mean, it's, you know, it's like, you know, and I promise you, man, and you're like this. You know me. I know you, okay? You listen to this podcast. I'm going to tell you what I think, whether it's what you want to hear. Yeah, sometimes it will be because I, you know, I agree. And I'm not always right. I thought the Tigers would be better this year.
Sure.
But I'll say this, you know, in you know, just and one thing to think about. And you can say what you know. I've been doing baseball coverage since 84, since you were 1 year old, okay? And I was on the beat as early as 86. And I covered that organization for Baseball America for two decades. And I still follow the minor leagues. People know that. Their system's in better shape in their analytics department than it's ever been. All right? So that part of it has been cleaned up. They've spent the money on it. They've got the people in there. And they actually got the manager who can facilitate that. They've done that. So that's a big plus for them. Now, whether it's going to pay off in a World Series championship, I don't know. They did sign players this year that made sense for them.
Yeah.
They did spend money. All right? Now, is there any excuse for the way they're playing? Zero. All right? It's awful. It's disappointing. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. Is it good for Al? No. Is it good for A.J. Hinch? No. You know, people like, you got to sign him to a long-term deal. The only reason somebody would want to sign him and he'd have a chance to leave here is if he wins. So his star is going to fade if he doesn't win. But I think he's a great manager.
Yeah.
And I think Al has done the things that he could do.
And
also, all right, you know, we under circumstances that were bad. Al adjusted to what he had to do. And Chris Illich, their plan isn't a bad plan. Now, you can get mad at me about it, and he should be upset about the way that team's playing. But I'm not going to go and just, you know, criticize. I mean, it's the same with the Lions last year. Dan Campbell did a real good job the second half of last year.
Sure, but
and it was because he was smart.
Games.
And yeah, right. So, you know, they got to weather the storm. And, you know, I trust Brad Holmes. I don't yet.
No, not
and
yet.
And I'm not saying Al's going to get over the top here or whatever. This is a setback.
Well, and so I guess the last thing I want to say is because you brought up A.J. Hinch and people saying sign him to an extension. This is just from an outsider looking in. I don't have any information on this. But if I were A.J. Hinch, I wouldn't sign an extension right now because you're right. If he does show that he can turn the ship around, he does have an opt-out after this year, and he can control his own destiny, right?
Right.
So if I'm him, I wouldn't sign a long-term extension right this moment. But if he believes in the team, I think he will, at the end of the year, sign that extension. So that's the only thing that I would say to that. But I agree with you, Pat. It's very disappointing. It's hard. It's hard to watch right now. It's,
it's brutal. It's brutal. It is. And then the other night when the ump was blowing those calls between him and the Tigers, you know, I didn't throw my shoe at my TV. You know, I don't think they would appreciate me breaking one of the monitors in here.
But
I mean,
they
was tempted.
They still only had four hits that game.
Yeah, it was brutal.
So, I mean, if an ump's missing six calls throughout the game, you still need to hit the baseball.
Oh, it was just, you know, that's the thing. You know, I felt, because I really felt we had to have a discussion that night about the umpiring.
Yeah.
That and the Angel Hernandez thing and the thing with Madison Bumgarner where the ump was looking at his hand.
Yeah.
That was bizarre. Between all that, you know, I thought we – but I got to tell you, there's no excuse for the way the Tigers are playing. So, but anyway, enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget, you can find us the Google Play Store, iTunes.
iTunes.
And Spotify.
Spotify, that is new, so that is great. And, of course, our Odyssey app, just search Bustin' Balls or even 971theticket.com. Click on the podcast tab, and you'll find all of our episodes right there.
Yeah, and we appreciate you listening very much. Till next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.